Okay, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. If you got your Bible or some way to tune into those verses, let's do it now. Because the subject matter today is so serious, and it will determine whether our ministry is going to stand or fall during these times. Whether our ministry is going to be effective or just a status quo. Men of God I've talked to who have traveled in foreign countries, when they go into those foreign countries, if you don't have some miracles in your ministry, they'll send you home. And I think we have got complacent by just preaching the word. Our expectation is not great enough for miracles, signs, and wonders to substantiate what we are preaching. So it's my job as your father and as your apostle to begin to train you to expect miracles, signs, and wonders in your ministries on a daily basis. So there are some points and insights that will assist you along those lines. Two sets of scriptures I want to read, and then I'm going to read quite a few more scriptures this morning. We're going to deal with unlocking miracles in your ministry. Unlocking miracle anointing, where we have an expectation as we minister in the place of Jesus. We should get the same result that Jesus received. For we are an extension of Jesus' ministry. So every time you stand, you're standing in the same position that Jesus stood in for the Father. Here in Hebrews 2, beginning at verse 1, we're going through verse 1 through 4, and I think it picture what we're talking about. Therefore, we ought to give the most honest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And that word slip. Slip is very important there. But the word spoken by angels was steadfast, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Verse 3 and 4 now is very important. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now that's also a category of us speaking in the same power that the Lord spoke in, producing the same results that the Lord Jesus was receiving his ministry, Peter, Paul, and James were receiving in their ministry. We should have the same manifestation today. The fourth verse clarified, God also bearing them witness. See, now, the gospel is going to have more witness than just words, more witness than just a song, or just four or five people falling out dancing. In this time now, as ministers, we're going to have to house the royalty that's in us in Christ and expect, I'm believing for Ron Eyes to come open any minute. I'm praying for him every day. I'm expecting miracles and signs and wonders to take place, deaf ears open. I'm just expecting it because I see it clearly that the gospel must have evidence, must have a witness to overpower anything else that exists. Instruments, iPhone, internet, whatever invention they've come up with, the gospel should have more evidence than anything that exists. And until we go back from tradition, religion, denomination, charismatic, full gospel, Church of God in Christ, denominational setting, and let the gospel be as effective as it was in Jesus' life and in the book of Acts. And there's an anointing for that. That's, but you've got to have expectation. And when you stand the minister, always address the people believing. The people have to believe. Now, we're going to have to preach the gospel. We can't have an outline with a whole lot of stuff saying a lot of stuff. You're going to have to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom, as Jesus did in Matthew 4, and he got great results. The apostles got great results. Matter of fact, it's an apostolic gospel. It's an apostolic gospel in the aspect that the government of the kingdom is so strong that supernatural manifestation takes place. Like somebody getting a new heart, a new kidney, a new lung. We drifted away from that in modern religion. And LTMA, the Lord is assigning me to impart and to make a greater impact in this generation by bringing the apostolic gospel back, where when one of the apostolic preachers are preaching or ministering, they're expecting everything to happen. We've got to the land of the hand, 4 or 5 people fall out, and, you know, we that's our pattern. But actually, until we have expectation and make the people clear about believing, we're really not preaching the gospel. I don't care how good your sermon is. We're really not preaching the gospel. So it says here in this 4th verse, God also bearing them witness with signs, number one, and wonders, number two, and all of them are plural, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Then I want you to look in Hebrews 4, just for a minute. Hebrews 4, we'll look at verse 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, and any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, in practicality, there's an unrest in the body of Christ, even during this crisis, because they have not seen enough miracles. When one of us walk in the room, everybody ought to become calm, because they know we're packing the same thing that Jesus was packing, that at any moment, a miracle, signs, and wonders can break out. That's what I want. That's what I want to impart to you. That's what I want. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me, to help us understand a good sermon is not enough. A few people shouting and raising their hand is not enough. Somebody should have got out of the wheelchair. Somebody, some miracle, some sign, some wonder, something out of the ordinary got to go to happening with this apostolic gospel on our belt. Here we have in verse 1 and 2 of the 4th chapter, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Then verse 2.
Might be it, but it hadn't been saying that.
Amen. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So what I'm saying now is we're going to have to believe ourselves and start talking about it, expecting it, not fossilizing it, if there's such a word, trying to make something come through. No, just let it happen. It's supposed to follow the gospel. The stagnation and the absentee of it, I believe, is too many denominations, too many big dogs, too many people popular, and not just simply preaching the gospel and believing for the miracles to happen. We got to mix it with faith. Let me read. I was going to go to, I got a little outline here I'm going to give you, but let me read some other scriptures. We're talking about unlocking miracles in your ministry. When I say miracles, signs, wonders, etc. In Acts 2:43, these guys knew they were acting in a continuous aspect of Jesus' ministry. That's one thing I want you to ponder on, that you continue with the same gospel, the same Father, the same Holy Spirit, and expect to get the same results. In Acts 2:43, it says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders, plural, and signs were done by the apostles. If you follow me, Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles was many, there again, signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all of one accord in Solomon's porch. Verse 13 says, and the rest, thrust no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added. See, that got something to do with what's going on now, because we got over 1,000 some people got born again. I got 3 people born again this morning with the help of the Holy Spirit. So the signs and wonders and miracles would draw people into Christ. And believers, verse 14, were more added to the Lord, multitude, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick in the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least a shadow, oh my God, of Peter passed by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the city round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which was dead with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the last two words of verse 16, every one. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, watch what he says now, did great wonders and miracles among the people. It seems like God's trying to tell us something. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord give heed unto those things which Philip spake. Now watch what he said, verse 6. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many possessed with them, and many taken with palsy, and that was lame, were healed. You say, Apostle, what are you going to do, read the Bible to us? Yes, because that's exactly what we're at here now. We need to understand. The 8th verse saying, there was great joy in that city. Acts 14:3. Long time, therefore, bold they speaking boldly in the Lord, which give testimony unto the word of his grace. Now watch what it says. And granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Acts 15:12. Then all the multitude kept silent, and great audience to audience, and Paul declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Acts 19, verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwell in Asia saw the word of the Lord Jesus, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Now, you say, all these scriptures, you're reading the scriptures, I know the scriptures. Yes, but are you doing them? That's the question, you see. We got to get off this high horse about what a great minister we are. Do you have any proof, any result? I know we got people born again and stuff, but I'm talking about the apostolic gospel should have miracles, signs, and wonders on daily basis. Say so that from his body was brought unto the sick handkerchief or apron, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirit went out of them. Now, here are the basis that I believe we're going to have to do this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man wisdom. Apostle Paul told us. And we all know the scripture. But how many of us doing it? Including the apostle sitting here. But in demonstration of the spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Now, here I have argument in verse 5, because I believe the average thing going on in the church to a large degree is in the wisdom of men, but it's not in the power of God. I heard Dr. Price teaching to the Azusa 18 years ago, and when he got up, he tried to explain himself. Now, I'm not coming after you. I'm not trying to cut your ministry down. I'm not trying to hurt you. But then he started talking about prosperity and what should be done in the church. But I saw a lot of people couldn't handle that. But I know you can handle this because I'm going to cut you this morning, and I'm cutting myself too. I'm bleeding right here in the room right now because I know there's more. In Galatians 3:5, he therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the work of the law, by the hearing of faith. Look at that. Then 1 Thessalonians 1:5, and then I'll start giving you some principles to work with. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we are among you for your sake. Now, 1 Thessalonians, I want you to connect 1 Thessalonians 1:5 with Hebrews 2:4. Just one moment before I go to saying some other things. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 with Hebrews. Let me get there. Hebrews, hit the wrong thing. Hebrews 2:4. Yeah, Hebrews 2:4. We'll connect those two just for a minute. For our gospel, 1 Thessalonians 1:5, and the Lord showed me these two scriptures, how related they are. For our gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, three things, in much assurance, that you might know. Now, see the end of that word, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. That's where we're going, all right? And we're going to start happening in our churches, in our meetings. The same thing going to start happening here. Then you go to that fourth verse in Hebrews 2. It says, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles, and gift of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now, with these scriptures I read to you, it's impossible for you to have an argument that we need to get up and do some more things. All right? Unlocking miracles in your ministry. Duplicating the ministry of Jesus. Continuing his ministry through you. Continuing his ministry through you. Same assignment, same power of the Holy Ghost, same miracle. Same assignment, same power of the Holy Ghost, same miracle. All right? Now, miracles are experiencing the resurrection of Jesus in your ministry, being released to the people. In other words, that resurrection power that is available to us through Jesus' resurrection and through the application of the Holy Ghost is the self-same power that Jesus was using. Secondly, this is powerful. Jesus is our model. M-O-D-E-L. We are the Father. Whatever happened in Jesus' ministry, just like them boys did in the book of Acts, should be happening in Dan ministry, in Philip ministry, Jeremiah ministry, in Ron ministry, just on and on. The same thing should be happening. You know, I've seen a man raised from the dead. I just talked to God about it. The man dropped dead in my church. I said, God, there's a good man. I need him. And two doctors and nurses said he was gone. He got up and got to come back alive. I've seen that. I got a case on probably on the phone line now. The doctor told the woman that there's nothing he could do for her husband. It was over. And the woman said, give me some more time. And her husband, I talked to him on the phone just the other day. Yes, alive and well right now. I was in the hospital. I watched the faces of those doctors, young doctors and doctors who were older, was highly confused but highly happy. I mean, they probably never seen nothing like that before. This boy was supposed to be dead, but he's alive today because his wife stood on the word and God gave her a miracle. So we need to see that over and over again. We need not just to be laying hands on people falling out and getting up the same way they laid down. It's time for, while you preaching in your congregation, miracles to take place while you preaching. You don't have to force them, but you do have to believe for them, and you do have to talk about them, and you do have to know you're not going to do it. And you do have to know that the person that you're preaching to going to have to be able to believe in miracles, start expecting miracles. Now, they're going to break out. They're going to break out. They're breaking out right now. And I just be talking about it. I just been talking about it for 3 or 4 weeks, but they're going to start breaking out. So Jesus is our model. What did Jesus do when he ministered? What happened when he ministered? Everybody got delivered. Sam ministry, Sam assignment. Another statement I want to make is moving in the impartation of his example. Moving in the impartation of his example. Very powerful. Responding properly to his mandate in your ministry. Keeping our action always in alignment with his assignment. You know, we've got to be general to a certain thing. We get a good outline, we go in there and preach and jump around a little bit. When the Holy Ghost begin to move on you, the psalmist called it Selah, pause. I think that time we need to pause and let the Holy Ghost do what he want to do. We go on and finish our sermon, but I think in the days to come, I think the Holy Spirit is going to enforce and back this up, what I'm doing, because I think the Lord really wants ministers to start stepping out in these supernatural facets in their ministry, and we're going to start doing it. Matter of fact, as I speak to you, I'm releasing that type of anointing and mantle out on you now, that we're going to begin to see it, and we're going to begin to enjoy it. Now, here's another thing that was important to me and is important. Miracles, signs, and wonders releases credibility of the power of God. Now, the reason the world folks think you can stand up to our standard, and the reason they don't respect us as they should, because we have not been flowing in the power as we should. And so, they'll tell me, this is what we're going to work on. As you're praying in the Spirit and as you're reading Scripture, I want you to meditate that Scripture you're going to preach on it and expect it to happen while you're preaching. Expect it to happen while you're preaching. It's so important. That's my prayer. I'm praying every day about this. Another thing I wrote, you must know your legal kingdom right at all times in every situation. You must know your legal kingdom right. Jesus knew his legal kingdom right at all times in every situation. In other words, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost should come over any situation you're dealing with. Another thing is, for lack of a better word, but I'm going to use it, experiencing the energy of the life of Jesus moving by the Holy Ghost. We need to pause and think about that and begin to move in those areas, for it's so important. I wrote another footnote. I'm almost through. I just read a lot of scripture to you, but I want to get you stirred up about that and go to praying about it. Go to praying about it. Now, don't get off in the ditch on this. This is supposed to be balanced. This is supposed to be normal in the spirit, but we've got away from it so far. Now, we got people acting like they're having miracles. We got people, you know, but I'm talking about real, genuine miracles. Just people get up and just start testifying. This is happening. We had some when we had that supernatural meeting at Word of Life when I was doing that camp meeting, you remember? But here's how to expect miracles in your ministry. One thing you have to have is, I wrote, wisdom flowing freely. Inspiration from the Holy Ghost. Love from God and for God. Living on the cutting edge of faith. Let me repeat that. How to expect miracles in your ministry and in your life. wisdom flowing freely, inspiration from the Holy Ghost, love from God and for God, living on the cutting edge of faith. Now, one of the things God taught me, and I've been working on this for a while now, and I preached it, I believe, about Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 15, 10, 11 and 13, and 2 Corinthians 12, 11, 13. Knowing you have infirmities and laying them in the Spirit hand, that'll cause miracles. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10, read that over and over again. I wrote, I throw my infirmities into your glory. Power, pouring spirit, and meekness is very important, but Jesus talked about the gratitude and attitude in Matthew chapter 5, when that great sermon he preached. Praying in the spirit is the master key here. Jude 20 and read 21 too. 1 Corinthians 14, 2, talking about tapping into the mystery. In order for this to happen, you know, we talk about holiness, living clean lives. I don't believe in playing no games. And we have not had no trouble along that line. And I thank God for it. And I ask God to expose it, reveal and remove it if it do, because I ain't got time to play no games. Another aspect of walking in this type of anointing and walking this type of miracle sign, you must always keep your heart searched. In that Psalm 139, 23, searching, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see there be any wicked way in me, and lead me the way everlasting. Always keep your heart searched. Another note I wrote, stand in tune to the mind of the Spirit. I mean, when you get up to preaching, when you're ministering, stand in tune to the mind of the Spirit. You know, your Romans 12, 2, talking about being transformed. Ephesians 4, 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 1 Corinthians 2, 16, the mind of Christ. So stand in tune to the mind of the Spirit. Without doubting, but always yielding to the will of God. Always yielding to the will of God. That's Ephesians 4, 30. Ephesians 5:17, Philippians 2:13, without doubting, but always yielding to the will of God. Well, it's this one bear saying, but it's bear repeating. If you're going to have that type of anointing, loving God with all your heart, Matthew 22:34-40. Here's one. You got the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Always acknowledge your calling. You know, don't speak in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. And then 1 Corinthians 2 again, 1 through 5, I wrote this note. Do everything according to his purpose. You want to glorify him, magnify him. Then, my brothers and sisters, make yourself available to be caught up in the Spirit. To see things beyond this world. Always like what John said out on the Isle of Patmos, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And once after he said that, he said he heard something, he started seeing things in a different dimension. So, and then Philippians 1:19, prayer for the supply of the Spirit. That's so important also. So let me summarize here a few moments and just talk from my heart to you about this. I've been around a while, and I've seen ministries at different brackets, different levels. I've seen some of the greatest ministers, and I thank God for them. I've been in their meetings. I've been in great meetings. I've had great meetings myself. I know it's all the power of the Holy Ghost. But I will call now. I want you to begin to pray about it. We don't have to try to, as I said, don't try to make nothing happen. Just let it happen. But I will call now to concentrate on the fact not just having a sermon, not just calling who won't be saved, et cetera, or laying hand, just call laying hand on people. Not just that, that's included. But I want you to meditate those scriptures. The scriptures I give, they're going to send it out to you. Study this outline. Study some of the things that I'm saying, because I'm doing them right now. I made my mind up. And when you stand, recognize that to minister to somebody one-on-one or 1 to 5,000, remember that you're God's representative. And you got to look beyond denominational levels, hierarchies, and you got to go into simplicity of the gospel, in the realm of the spirit. Be thankful for who you are, and that God chose you to use you. You don't have to be as eloquent. You don't have to be as qualified as anybody else. He chose you, and God is no less effective in a woman than he is in a man. God is God, whatever instrument he's using. So we got to get over that. God is God. So I'm saying to the men and women here that God want to do miracles to you. He want to do signs. He want to do wonders. Don't try, again, I'm going to repeat myself, don't go out there and try to make it happen. You need to have evidence that it did happen. You need to question the person who say, come and say, this happened to me, and find out. I even got some doctor papers that prove some miracles in my ministry. They brought the papers to me. This is the type of action we're going to see in the months to come. You notice I didn't say the year. In the months to come. So I'm not questioning your ministry, not questioning your authority, but I'm saying to you that in the United States of America, we have got complacent. And we just looking and seeing miracles in foreign countries, but God wants those miracles right here on Sunday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, whenever you minister. Every time you stand up, you expect something supernatural, somebody to interrupt you. They can't hold it no longer because the Lord had put a new organ in their body, a new lung. They were breathing hard, but now they're breathing right. There's nothing impossible. We know that. Y'all know the scriptures. So let's look forward to some days of supernatural happening. I'll be coming back as a study on these different means of inspiration and responding to the power of the Holy Ghost. And we need evidence. And when that start happening, everybody in ministry is going to increase. Everything going to increase. But routine must be buried this morning. The same old must be buried. 13 people running don't mean a whole lot if something hadn't happened. It just got happy. We need people running because somebody beside them grew a leg out or something of that nature. And Father, I thank you so much. In my feeble way, I'm talking to men and women of God that you connected me with. They've given me respect over the years, and I'm not questioning no one ministry. I'm just questioning our results, all of them, I'm included. And that the Holy Spirit, wherever extension that is connected on this line, wherever they may be, whatever state they may be in, right now, the Holy Spirit bring conviction and convince us to yield ourselves in prayer, in our study, that we'll be prompt to do whatever the Holy Ghost tells us to do in a service. And follow the leading of the Spirit. And we begin to see signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost manifest itself in our midst. That we'll be able to help other ministers as they come and ask us what we are doing. We know we can't do this ourselves. We know you have to teach us, Father. But we're expecting it from you, Father. And we thank you right now for every man, every woman under the sound of my voice. I thank you for their ministry. I thank you for what they're doing, what they have done. I just ask for all of us to be increased in awareness of Hebrews 4 and Hebrews 2. Let that salvation mean miracles, signs, and wonders. Let that salvation break out among us. We just thank you right now for a fresh anointing, a fresh manner, a fresh love, a fresh understanding, a fresh wisdom. Father, just go through these lines right now. I pray the anointing that you, I feel your presence. I feel the anointing. I feel your presence. Go through these lines right now to every man, every woman. Go through it, Father, with your love and your faith and your power and your glory. There are men and women on this line who really love you, who've been called, who've been working. And we thank you right now. Every ministry under the sound of my voice right now changes. The church will change Sunday morning. The church will change tonight as men and women of God are ministering. The man or woman of God on this line will assess the gifts of the Holy Ghost. They will assess the fruit of the Spirit mixing with the gifts. We are confidence and courage and conviction and convincing move of the Holy Ghost will be upon our ministries, upon our lives. As we walk through this thing together, Father, we thank you that we're walking together. We're a team, that we are. We're thankful that you're moving right now, moving to, on every man, every woman under the sound of my voice right now. You're touching them, a deeper hunger, a deeper thirst, a deeper wisdom coming on their life, a greater anointing, a mantle of miracles, signs, and wonders is coming on their lives right now. Father, we thank you and praise you for this time of impartation. We do it all in your mighty, majestic name. Jesus, we know you're sitting at the right hand of the Father, but we know you're backing us up. We know that you want your ministry to flourish as it was when you were here. We know that we're here to take your place and do your ministry. We thank you for the works and the greater works. We thank you for the name of Jesus. We thank you for the mighty Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the word of God. I bless everyone under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Leroy, you got it.
Thank you all so much. Don't forget about your various circle calls that you have with GMVB. Again, the Monday Coming to You conference will be this Thursday and Friday. All of it will be virtually online. Don't miss it. And thank you for being on there with this call this morning. This call will be available by available for you by way of MP3. I'll be texting it to you, or your MVB will be texting it to you within the next 30 to 45 minutes. Thank you all. Y'all have a wonderful day.